Welcome back to All Villages. Again, we're so glad you joined us. Our prayer is that you would grow in the Lord, you would flourish in the Lord. We've been going through the New Testament this last over a year and a half, almost 2 years, and we keep going back and forth, finding those threads in the Old Testament stuff. And so this is our last week in the New Testament per se before we jump into our new series again that's going to be going through the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You might have like, what did you just say? That's known as the Pentateuch, and it's the first five books of part one of the Bible, of the Hebrew Scriptures. And so I just want to encourage you to dig in. If you haven't got it, please let us know. We'd love to get it out to you. It's going to be a good time. We're going to learn a lot, but want to make sure you get it in your hands to have a chance to read it. We're going to be reading a lot more when it comes to the amount of chapters per week. If you choose to join us in that, we hope you will. Again, we have Bible studies that meet during the week. We in-person Bible study or online Bible study on Friday mornings that you can meet here at the church at 11 a.m. So if you are open to it, you're able to do it. We can get you the link. It's in our newsletter again, like Steve talked about, but it's also something that you can come in person. We'd love to have you and help you wrap your mind around what God's word teaches and stuff. So hope that encourages you, but know that God has brought you here, and we're looking forward to seeing what God does. So, but before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your amazing Son. The love that he showed on the cross, the love that you showed at creation, the love that we experience through the giving of your very Spirit. We ask that you would bless this time, use this time, help us to grow up in you, help us to flourish in you, help us to be the people that call you Lord. Help us to be a church that goes and goes into the world and that is light and love. Salt of the earth. Help us to be one in you and with one another. Bless these words, we pray. Bless this time. Help us to grow in you. In your name, amen. Well, I was talking about a little bit of Pentecost last week. We were finishing up Revelation, if you joined us. If you didn't, just kind of getting you caught up. I was talking about again, like Pentecost is the beginning of the fifth act. I think that we need to remember that the Scripture has like five acts to it, and we're going to talk a lot more about that here in this coming up next week and the weeks coming up. But Act One, creation. Act Two, the fall or the brokenness of humanity and what happened from there. Act Three, Israel as a people, and then Act Four, Jesus, and then Act Five is known as the church. And so the church is being launched in this Pentecost. And so I just kind of hinted towards it last week and kind of showing again where it was all going to in the end of Revelation. But before we go any further, I just wanted to make sure that you kind of were caught up on that. That yes, Pentecost was officially last week, but we're taking some time and spending some more time with Pentecost because I think it's so important we wrap our minds around it. Because it's more than Sunday, right? Jesus didn't die so we could have a service once a week. Jesus died so that we could have a relationship with the Lord and so that we could be changed and transformed and be his people wherever we go, that we would be different people, that we would be transformed, changed from the inside out, that you and I have brokenness and we need healing. And some of that healing, God's like, listen, I know it's going to take years of helping you unlearn, helping you relearn, helping you surrender and helping you, again, be the people I've called you to be and dreamt of you becoming. And so in that, by his grace, we need to remember that Pentecost, yes, it's maybe on a Sunday, but it's more than Sunday. We need more of our hearts and lives surrendered to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, devoted to one another. And so we're going to see that really unpacked in this text. But I hope and want to encourage you, understand that if you think that Christianity or your relationship with the Lord is just about a Sunday service, don't get me wrong, we're glad you're here, and we hope you come back, but it's more than that. God needs, he wants to be involved in every area of our lives, and you and I need to surrender that to the Lord. We need to submit to that and say, Lord, how can I learn? How can I grow? How can I live into what you have for me? One big, that's really kind of one of those eye-opening things, because we just don't have kings in our country in the United States, right? But in other parts of the world, they do have kings and queens and so on. And one of the things that is crystal clear we find in the four accounts of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see lived out in Acts and the rest of the New Testament, is apparently Jesus has become king. So he's died on the cross. He's risen from the grave, Easter, right? And in that 40 days that he's still with his people, and he still teaches people, and he still is challenging them, he then says, listen, I'm back, and I'm gonna go to be with the Lord to rule and reign and bring my kingdom to bear here on this earth. And we find that it happens officially at the end in Revelation. But in between that, him going to rule and reign and bringing his kingdom down in Revelation, he says, I'm going to send a helper. And so he ascends. He becomes king officially. Think about, like, again, you've been inaugurated. You've won the election. You've been inaugurated. And you're now bringing in your rule and reign kind of thing, right? It's an announcement. Think of it like an engagement ring. You're betrothed to the person, and now you're working towards that special day to then say, we're joined forever. And that's really kind of what Jesus is kind of showing us, that he's ascending, okay, to be with the Lord and rule and reign, and he's sending his very Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to empower us, to equip us, and to help us live into this. And so we need to remember that as we're reading this, and remember that he's still working through us, that we're living into the fifth act, again, of God's story. That this fifth act is something that continues on. The book of Acts is the book that's right after the four accounts of Jesus' life. And in that, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit and the early church. It's how the church begun and how it's still going. And it ends like with an ellipsis, like dot, dot, dot. Like, it doesn't really have like a, and they lived happily ever after, or all this, da, 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 da. No, it doesn't end. It's kind of like to be continued, or as I like to say, we're still living out the book of Acts. The church throughout the world is living it. And so I want to invite you to maybe see Monday morning that I'm part of something that began 2,000 years ago. That's got at least a little bit of excitement there, right? But God is wanting to work in you and through you. He's wanting to work in me and through me. He's wanting to work through all of us as a church family, as a body, to go and actually be a part of what he's doing and help, again, share. And so this is that Sunday that he pulls up and says, he says, and I send the Holy Spirit. And he says, 10 days later, 50 days, from when he rose from the dead, is this Pentecost celebration. Now, Pentecost wasn't a Christian tradition at this point, right? At this point, it's the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And Pentecost is when God's people, his people, after he rescued them out of Egypt, and he gave them the Ten Commandments. And so here he is giving the Ten Commandments and saying, listen, and the Ten Commandments aren't a list of rules of do's and don'ts. And that, I hope you've kind of realized that over time. But the first four are all about how to have a relationship with the Lord. And the next six are how to have a relationship with people. Okay? And these are again, people that were enslaved for over 400 plus years. Right? And so here they have these, they don't have an ethic. They don't know how to have a relationship with the Lord. And he's like, listen, I have rescued you out of Egypt. I heard your cries. You are my people and I am your God. And so hear this. We need to have like some boundaries so that we're healthy and we can really flourish with one another. And so Pentecost becomes, though, this time when Jesus sends us his very Spirit. That yes, there's, and somehow in heaven and earth, this created order that God is fully present. Again, heaven is that place where he dwells. And yet, as he goes to ascend, he's still part with created order here, because he rules and reigns, but he sends his Spirit. So he's kind of both places, right? It's kind of, whoa, what's going on here? But Pentecost became this place where, again, we were equipped, we're given his Spirit so that we can actually be the people God's called us to be. There are going to be people that make mistakes. You and I make mistakes. We make poor choices at times, or maybe we just make, uninformed choices, whatever it may be. And that's where we have to, again, humble ourselves and say, Lord, help me to learn from this, right? Help me to grow from this. Every one of us has potential of sin, of brokenness. Every one of us. It's important, though, that we go to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to live in your strength. Help me to order my life so that I may flourish in you. That I might not fall or go off track, that I might really be the people, be the person you've saw me become. So Pentecost is the gift, the time, the gift of God's Holy Spirit to come upon the early church. They're hiding away, and they're kind of like, okay, Jesus said to wait. We're not sure how long. he promised that he was gonna baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus like says, listen, just wait, hang out. And then he ascends to, again, become king officially. And then the apostles get together, the 11 disciples said, okay, so now that, you know, we lost one because, you know, he sold out Jesus, we need to kind of replace that. So they kind of give us some background to that. And then Acts chapter 2, we find this. And so I'm just going to jump into the text. I hope it's connecting with you. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. Sounds like a little different picture, kind of almost like a Revelation thing, right? Kind of like, whoa, what's going on here, right? And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. So what we're seeing is that God invades his people, fills them up, so that they can go out into the community and be his people. Now, we need to understand something here. Like, at that time, before this time, what we understand is that the only place that God dwelled was the temple. And so you have this temple. At first, it was a tabernacle, this like tent that they would travel with when they were rescued out of Egypt. And he was like in there, you know, and he led them with a pillar of fire and a cloud of smoke and all these different things throughout the day and the night and everything like that as a way of saying, I'm with you. And then they made the temple. And the temple was that place again where heaven and earth met. And in this temple was where God dwelled. And we again read, if you joined us for Revelation, we went through and saw how God says, I am going to dwell with you forever. I'm coming back. I'm going to be here. This is going to be our place forever. And so in between that time, we have this moment here, because it was a long-awaited hope. We see from Exodus chapter 40 and 1 Kings chapter 8. And if those don't mean anything to you, just trust me that there was a hope that God was going to one day again be dwelling in the temple forever. And so here we have this moment where God indwells us. And later we find out, in through a writing a little bit later by a gentleman named Paul, the very first writer of any of our Christian texts of the New Testament. A gentleman named Paul. Paul writes and talks about how we are now the temple of God. Now, the temple is destroyed in a few years after Jesus dies and raised from the dead. In about 30 years, around 30 some years, the temple is destroyed, 70 AD. Rome comes in. It was a kind of an uproar, and they actually ended up destroying the temple. And the fires that started there ended up burning all the gold. They ended up taking it and turning every piece of the temple over, except one wall that's still standing today over in Israel. Anyhow, what's really interesting about all of this is that Paul ends up saying that we are these new temples, and the Spirit of God now has filled us up. When we said yes to Jesus, Jesus ends up filling us up with his Spirit, and the Holy Spirit now gives us this life and power in him. So, Spirit-filled image bearers. Image bearers is a phrase that I want you just to kind of put a snapshot in the back of your mind, because we're going to need to really remember that when we get to Genesis, because that's a kind of a key thought. Another aspect from these first four verses is this, that God is with and in us. That's, again, a radical phrase when it comes to when this was written. God might be with you. You hope God's with you. Now we have the promise God is always with us. There's nowhere you and I can go where he's not with us. And he's in us. And I'm going, wait, what? I mean, when I'm reading this first time, I'm going, I must be misreading this or misunderstanding. Like, this is like, what? He's with me? I don't always feel like he's with me. He's in me? Like, what does that mean? That his Spirit brings us into relationship with him. And now we have direct access to him, that he ends up even praying for us. The Holy Spirit prays for us and guides us and encourages us. When we're being tempted, he's trying to say, no, you don't need to go there. Why do you think you're being drawn over there? Live, be obedient, Keep trusting in me. Keep following me. You and I need to learn to surrender to that, to the Holy Spirit, and surrender to what God's doing. The text continues. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. Now, this is at the end of chapter 2, kind of jumping to that part, because I just think it's so crucial that we really see what is now happening because of God's Spirit working in these people. Peter comes from out of the upper room when they were all gathered after or during this Pentecost, and after they've gotten, they're speaking all these different languages now, and they're like, what's going on? It was a truly amazing moment for the life of the church, and really, again, the launching of the church. And so then Peter goes out. Man, I can't speak today. Peter goes out, and he starts actually sharing what we say is a sermon, but really he was making an announcement. And I'll unpack that here in a second, but he was given this message to the people, and 3,000 people come to know the Lord. And then we find that that they've devoted themselves to one of these 3,000 as part of the followers of Jesus, of the disciples and the apostles, and they're all gathering together, and they're meeting on a regular time. The disciples and the apostles are teaching, and they're experiencing fellowship. They're experiencing a community with one another, and they're on mission together. That's what fellowship, the koinonia, means. And they're sharing meals together, and they're praying together. There's a deep sense of awe that came over them all. And the apostles perform many miracles, signs, and wonders. I think it's crucial that we wrap our minds around this. This was a very special moment. I don't think we're going to see another Pentecost like that. Don't get me wrong. There's been many times throughout church history where the Spirit has done new things, and fresh wind and fresh fire has come. And people, there's been a great awakening. When there's a great awakening too, believe it or not, right? And so we see these movements of God coming and drawing more people to Him. And those are wonderful moments. But what I think it's crucial is that the future's reality, by God sending His Spirit, come to the present. The gift of the Spirit helps this future reality that we're going to experience when we're with the Lord forever, we see in the end of Revelation, come to the present, that you and I can experience new life here and now. New life. Think about when you see that. Would it be a baby or things that are growing? It may be in a garden or something. It's flourishing, and you just, man, it's great, right? I mean, you're celebrating. There's a new energy about it. These people were different people after this. The same people that ducked and covered, right, ran and hit the road kind of thing. When Jesus was arrested and when they were accused, they're like, no, I'm not the man. You know, Peter's like starting to curse at the person. No, you know, I'm not that. You know, he starts going at it. And yet he's the same guy. And yet a brand new person because of what the Holy Spirit has done in him. You and I don't have to try harder, don't have to manufacture this new energy. It's not just an excitement or an enthusiasm. There's going to be that. But it's the Holy Spirit that breathes life into us and hope. And it helps us imagine imagine God's kingdom coming. And again, surrender to what the Lord wants to do. It says, and all the believers, continue on the same text, met together in one place and shared everything they had. And some people are like, whoa, that's like Marxism. No, it's not the government doing this. This is the people of God understanding that there is no class. There is no you're rich, I'm poor. There's no ethnicity when it comes to any of that stuff. There's none of that diversity when it comes to anything that separates us. Because all the ground around the cross is level. It's for everyone and anyone. And there's no division. It's because we're all in this family that God has now invited us to join Him in. And He has reestablished who we are in Him. Look at how the rubber meets the road here, right? Look at how their lives are different now because of the Holy Spirit working in them. They had spent years together, a group of followers. It was several hundred in the beginning, and then we find out in one of the accounts of the Bible of Jesus' life that over half of them leave, that most of them leave, in fact. And then it's like he turns to the disciples, are you going to go too? And they're like, where are we going to go? We got, like, we're all in. Like, we got nothing. We just got you kind of thing, right? Like, hopefully, you know, this pans out. And so, but we're seeing now of this group, this several thousand now that have gathered together. and have come to know Jesus as the new king and are trying to live out into the world and together what it means to be rescued, to live in relationship with the Lord. This is where the rubber meets the road. They sold their property and possessions and shared money with those in need in their community. So in their community, their body of Christ, their church family, they worship together at the temple each day. They're still worshiping at the temple. It's still around at this point. But in time, when the temple's gone, and that's not part of it, we're going to, again, Paul helps unpack how we are now that place where heaven and earth meets, that we don't need the temple anymore. We don't need to follow along and do any of the festivals and stuff like that. There's a reason we can eat pork now and so on, right? We don't follow those laws we're going to see in Leviticus and Numbers and stuff. No, what we see is that we have direct access, and there's a new reason for us in living in freedom with the Lord and again, sharing that hope we have with others. So they worship together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They celebrated the Lord's Supper every day when they got together. How about that? Isn't that beautiful? They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. They're actually living in such a way that the rest of the world, the rest of the community is taking notice and leaning in. I mean, they're like, "Hey guys, that looks really good." Like, huh, how about that? People are being drawn to how they live. Wouldn't that be an amazing church, right? Not the, "Oh, you're that church," right? No, it's like, "Oh, you're weird," or, "Oh, you do the pumpkins, that's your church." No, I would love for people to go, "I've seen and heard what God's doing in your church. It sounds like it's amazing. I'd love to be a part of that." I love that. In Acts chapter 2, again, the end here, verse 47, "And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." That word saved means rescued. Those who are coming to be in relationship with the Lord and learning how to live out their faith with others. That it's a new kind of kingdom. This isn't just about keeping a list of rules and regulations. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about making sure you believe all the right things. Check, 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 check. This is a way of living, a way of loving, a way of serving others, a way of living into this new reality. Not by our strength, not by us trying to just work harder and try harder, but it's about the Holy Spirit working us, changing us from the inside out, and living into this reality. I just want to just take a moment here. It's not advice. So what I mean by that is an announcement. There's two parts, but I'm just going to give you one illustration here. When this guy named Saul, who becomes Paul, again, who was the earliest Christian writer and wrote over a third of the New Testament here, when Saul comes to meet this Jesus, okay, he's already ascended, but he is persecuting the church. He is hunting down Christians. He thinks that they have messed up, that they're not keeping the law, and he, in his zest for the Lord, as he would put it, he thought he needs to, again, help purify it, and so get down, get them out, and you know, whether it be arrest them, stone them, kill them, whatever. And again, right now, it's legal. There's, again, first 300 years of Christianity, 10 different Caesars make decrees saying, it's their open season, and again, as a Christian, it was rough going in the beginning for sure, because in the Roman government, if you didn't have a sponsored religion, right? If you were like a sect inside that religion that was living out, that was authorized, you were out. Okay, and so right now they're kind of on the run, and after about 30 years of Christianity, and so here we have this Saul, who is, again, part of the hunting down. He comes to meet this Jesus outside Damascus. He's on a trip, hunting him down. And this Jesus knocks him off his donkey, if you will. And so I'm not going to give you the King James Version. But he knocks him off, and he is, like, blinded for several days. And he comes to know that he's like, the Lord meets him and says, you know, "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" And he's like, "What are you talking about? Like, who are you?" He's like, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you've been persecuting. I'm the Lord." And he just has this radical come to Jesus moment, where that comes from. And so he has this come to Jesus moment where he is like, "Wait a minute, you are the one, you are the promised Messiah. You're the one true king that was always promised, that we've been hoping for." Oh, it changes everything. What does Paul do? Does he just say, hey, great, I'm just going to wait till you come back, Jesus, and it's just all about me and my personal relationship with you? Nope. He goes and finds the closest synagogue, the closest place where he knows there are like-minded people when it comes to the Jewish tradition, and then announces to them, you need to know this. Jesus really was the promised one. He is Lord. Now, that was a phrase they only reserved for Caesar. It was a phrase they would say, Caesar is Lord. The word good news, you might have heard that before. You haven't? Good news is sometimes referred to, again, of the goodness of God in Jesus, being faithful through Jesus, and the promise he made early on in the Bible. And that is what it means. But the word good news also has a dual meaning, because at that time period, it was also a royal pronouncement that would be ushered through all of the Roman provinces. And they would go out and say, there's good news. It was either Caesar's birthday or there was a new Caesar. That was the good news. The good news, Caesar's birthday. Let's celebrate. Let's have a festival. Let's have a party. And so Paul, a Roman citizen, takes that and subverts it and says, it's good news. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has become king, in other words. A very political statement. And yet, don't get me wrong, it definitely means that he is the ruler and reigner today. And he is our God. But he doesn't go to give advice. He doesn't go to have, hey, you need to have a prayer. Let's have a small prayer. You have a nice little private spirituality. You go do your own thing now. No, he makes this giant announcement. Gets him in big trouble, by the way. Makes this announcement to the synagogue until he gets thrown out. Hey, this Jesus was the true king. And now we are invited to be in relationship. And he's going to send it. He sent his spirit. And now we get to live into it. All because Jesus said, I'm sending my spirit at Pentecost. And it started this ripple effect throughout the church. I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you've declared your allegiance to God or not. To Jesus, I am yours. You are Lord. I am not. You are God. I am not. You are King. I am definitely not. I don't know if you've been just kind of getting through the day. There are going to be seasons where they're tough. And we just, Lord, give me the strength of the day. Give me the strength of the challenges. That's fine. But if you've been going through the motions and there has not been that filling up, if you haven't felt sustained, you haven't felt like you're flourishing, then I want to invite you to declare it now and say, Lord, I need more of you. I need you to fill me up. I need you to help me to know there's hope for whatever challenge I face, whatever problem I'm going through, whatever just seems overwhelming. That you are good. VBS is going to be meeting here in a couple weeks. We're going to get together. We're going to have a great time. I'm hoping to get this big, giant slide for them for their obstacle run and goes into water. It's going to be a great time. The whole theme is endurance. Endurance for life. That again, God gives us His Spirit to help us finish the race. Here's what I have found, that you and I need more than Sunday. That these kids, we're going to try and help them understand. There are times life is hard, but God is good. And He is for them. He is for you. He is for me. We need more than just a Sunday service. We need more than just Sunday every now and again, checking in, checking it out. You and I need each other. We need the Holy Spirit working in us so He can work through us. And I invite you to know that, to experience that, to feel that, to be, again, reminded this day. Reminded that the Lord didn't mean for you to just get through life, but to flourish in it, to grow in Him. No matter what you're facing, He is enough. Be encouraged in that. This was so hard for me not to say beforehand because I just think it's such a big part of Pentecost and about what Easter has done and stuff like that. But Easter commissions the church, okay? Easter is the commissioning of who the church is, and Pentecost is where He equips the church. that so we can be the people of God, so we can go forward, so we can again be his hands and feet. You and I are not supposed to do it on our own. We're not supposed to just figure our way out. No, we're called to go and live on mission, live on purpose, not by accident. And Pentecost equips us to be able to do that. The Holy Spirit is always with us. You and I never have to say, Lord, please be with us now. We never have to pray that. If we've said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we can now live into that and out of that. Hear that good news. You and I need more than a Sunday. We need the Holy Spirit working in us every single moment of every single day, praying for us, encouraging us, supporting us. He gives us gifts so that we again can go and serve and love and again be the people of God. Now, we got some more homework coming up because, again, we've been reading the New Testament. Now we're jumping into the Old Testament. And wouldn't it be great if we could, again, dig into this together so that when we get together for whether it be worship or, again, Bible study, that we could even go further. And, again, God could do a deeper work for us every time. So we're going to ask you to read a little bit more than normal, okay, and going through here. We're going to read the first of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy in about 16, 18 weeks. Okay, so there's a lot more reading per week, but you can handle it. You can handle it. Start a little bit every day, a couple chapters here, a couple chapters there. We're going to go chapters 1 through 11, and if you're reading through the Immerse Beginnings Bible, it's pages 1 through to the top of 17, okay? Top of 17. So chapters, pages 1 through the top of 17, and the chapters 1 through 11, it's again how we, it's the first act of the play, creation, and the fall begins. And so we're going to read two acts in 1 week. How about that? And then we're going to start into Act 3 with Israel from that point on. But I'm really excited to share this time with you. I really hope it encourages you. If you need a beginnings book, a beginnings Bible, please let us know. We will get one out to you online. We'll be happy to ship it to you. It's from our family to your family. If you have one, if you're local and you want to stop by the church, swing by, call us, make sure we're here because summer hours are kind of crazy sometimes, but we'd love to help you with it, okay? Help you get that. Now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you, that's where that part comes from, right? It's a beautiful part. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless. Hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll hope to see you next time. Take care now.